I am a farmer, and have you ever picked up hay by yourself? It's not fun. It's not fun. You have to drive the tractor and get off and put it. Preaching's about the same way. Don't make me do this by myself. I need all the help I can get. And one way you can help is try to hear what I am trying to say. I'm not saying I'm that good at it, but I am trying to say something. And if you'll work real hard to try to hear what I'm trying to say, that makes it a whole lot easier on me. And what I want to speak about today is the lifestyle, the kingdom lifestyle. We're going into the 50th Jubilee. And the reason for a 50-year Jubilee was because that was part of their lifestyle. Their lifestyle was things were canceled, debts were canceled, things that they had drug around for years that was weight to them. All of a sudden, there was a day of reckoning. There was a day that the weight came off. And so I'm going to lead us in a little thought process. I'm thinking like a farmer, not an astronaut, so we'll see how this works. Transformation. In the kingdom lifestyle, as we're all coming into the kingdom lifestyle, that means that we're in the process of a transformation. The reason you're going to college is to be changed, to learn more, to move forward. And change is challenging. Not only is it challenging, it can be a little scary, if you will. And so it is to the believer that when we're transforming in who we are now and to whom we're going to be. I like to say it like this. I need to know more so I can go further. What I know got me to here, but it won't take me to where I'm going or I'd already be there. Now think about it. Now, what's the possibility of change? Well, there's a huge possibility to change. You can be thinking. There's a lot of things that come against change. Jubilee means there's an exchange. There's a change. There's a big change. When I got born again, I went from not knowing who I was to this new person that I was. It was amazing how with fresh information from heaven, how I so changed. As believers, it doesn't stop at the day of salvation. We are continually wanting to be transformed. So I'm going to lead us right quickly in just a little thought process here. You cannot be transformed if you are unwilling to change. You cannot be transformed if you're unwilling to change. Is there anybody in the room that does not like change? My wife does not like change. She is married to a farmer that likes to change every day. Change is a challenging thing, but we must understand if we're going to be transformed into the image of Christ, into the kingdom lifestyle, I like to call it, then it will bring change. Time does not equal newness of life, but how you think does. We think, well, if maybe next week it'll get better, or maybe next 6 months, or we start thinking that if I just had some new time, or if I had some time off, we start thinking that that could be newness. But newness is found in the Spirit. Newness is found in how we think with the power and the presence of God. Now, I've got to move right quickly here. I want to share this with you. You were created to remember. There's a part of us, and it's found like this in the Scriptures. It's in Genesis 1:27. Tells us that God created man and woman in his own image. You know the scripture, right? God created man and woman in His image. Have you ever wondered what that image is? Is it a head, two arms, two legs? What is the image that we've been created? This is what it says. In this passage, the word man is translated from the Hebrew word zakar, which means the remembering one. So it says in Genesis that God created Zakar and Zakar in His image. So what about us has been created like God? It's our ability to remember. We don't move out of instinct, we move out of remembering. Animals move out of instinct. We move out of remembering. So if that part of us that has been created in the image of God is our remembering, if you were the enemy, what would you attack? The part of you that's like God, which is your ability to remember. It challenges us to think, oh, if that's so, perhaps I should be careful on what I store in my memory. You see, the enemy's trying to get into the files of your mind. He's trying to get into the files of your remembering. He's trying to corrupt your files of remembering. So when the Holy Spirit moves, Holy Spirit wants to move by what God has put into your remembering. He'll bring it up. The enemy tries to give us corrupt remembering, so therefore we feel unqualified, we have great fear, we have all of these chains that bind us from being the remembering ones that God created. Now, with that in mind, that's just a little bit of the foundation. I'm going to ask you a question. See how many of you can get it right. What can weigh as much as 14,000 pounds? That's interesting. Stand as high as 13 feet tall and has one of the best memories on the planet. You got it. It's a Zakar, I call it, of the animal world, which is an elephant. Isn't that something? A powerful animal is an elephant. I mentioned last night to someone, they said, Alan, what are you speaking on tomorrow? I said, elephants. An elephant, I call it a Zakar of the animal world. The elephant, it's amazing about their memory. And it's amazing the role that the elephant plays. Now, I don't know if you can see that. You see that little elephant in the corner right there? That little elephant has a chain around its neck and around its ankle. And you can take an elephant when it's a baby, and they'll put a chain or a rope around their leg, and they'll tie it to a tree or to a stub in the ground. And that baby elephant will fight that tree or that stub until finally it just gives up. It gives up, and it's what we call, he's been broken. He just gives up, and he yields to the chain that's around its leg. You've seen it in Barnum Bailey Circus and things where they have a little stob in the ground, though, and this huge elephant standing there. Does that not look odd to you? How this little stake is holding this big elephant? Well, what's happened is the elephant, when it was little, got imprinted in its remembering one that chain would hold it to that stub. So it's programmed in that 14,000-pound elephant that chain's holding it. Some places, I watched this one thing on them as I was doing a little research on this, how that they had this one circus and this elephant came down. They were at like a three-ring circus or something, but the elephant came down. The announcer said the elephant wasn't doing what it was supposed to, and it went out the door, and the announcer said, everybody be calm. He's just going back to his safe place. And so the elephant went out the door, went back, walked up to the chain and the stob and just stood there, waiting for that chain to be put on his leg. It was so imprinted in that huge animal that its friend and its safe place was that chain around its leg. Now, this is Jubilee, 50-year Jubilee. This is when everything that's holding you is turned loose.
Yes.
Did you feel it? Could you feel it in here? It's turned loose. Turns loose. This celebration's a big deal for you if you allow it to be. Now let's go a little further in the story. Now the remembering one had to update its memory. So what happened is we find that this big elephant has its memory has been changed. He's been imprinted that the chain will hold him. So therefore, when the elephant gets big, the chain's not even hooked to anything, but it's still holding the elephant. So his memory. How does this work? How can I say it? It's repetition. Your thinking, the way you think, repetition creates stored memory. For instance, how many people can do a keyboard? You know, you do a computer, we do a keyboard. But when you started off doing that keyboard, you kind of had to hunt and peck, right? And then somebody taught you where to place your fingers and all of that, and you'd make a mess and you'd get, but you'd keep doing that till you get it right. Now you'll sit down and you'll type and you'll not think a thing about it. You just look at the book or whatever, and you just type away. How can you do that? It's because of, in your subconscious, you have stored memory. You had repetitive thinking. Repetitive thinking is stored memory as truth, whether it's true or not. Can you hear that? What happened to the elephant? The elephant had stored memory. His stored memory, whether it's true or not, is still true to the elephant. So the enemy works in our lives. I hope you can get this. It's kind of simple, but it's true. I believe that during this celebration, during this time that y'all are in, that this is the time that these chains, if you say, well, Alan, we don't have any chains. Well, you have to take that up with God. I'm just delivering the message. That it's time for these chains and this wrong thinking, things that are holding you back, it's time for that to be over. It's time to be over. And if you'll work with me here a little bit, I want to show you how I think we can do this. How many of us go through life hanging on to a belief that we cannot do something because we failed at it once before? How many of us have avoided trying something new because of a limited belief? How many of us are being held back by someone else's limiting beliefs? Now, the reason I bring this up is I'm fully persuaded that God's people are running at about 10%, maybe 20% on a good day. But God's people are to be running ahead of the world.
Yes.
We're not trying to equalize here. We're to run ahead. The world's desire is to be like us, not us like them. So we have some weight. We have some chains around our legs that I think we need to get rid of so that we can run. We can be fully who God's created us to be. Now, here's that elephant with the chain around his leg, and it says this in Proverbs. You know the verse very well. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you get it? So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That elephant thinketh in his heart that that chain has it bound to that little cheap Walmart stop. This huge 14, listen, God's people's 14,000 pound in the spirit. That's who God's people, that's who you are. You say, well, Alan, come on, not me. Hey, there's a chain. I just, right there it is. That's what it looks like. You have had so much repetitive thinking in that area that you've stored it as truth, and it's not true. And so, therefore, you play that key every day, all the time. And we're defeated. Let's look at it just a little further with that concept. Anything that puts limits on your life can be a chain around your thinking. Anything. Anything. Jesus came to set us free and to destroy the chains that bind us. Now, why did he want to destroy these chains? He wanted to destroy these chains so that you could fully allow him to live in you. I think a whole lot more of myself than I really do. Now, I'm not an English major. I never claimed to be. When I put my faith in what God says about me, I'm a 14,000 pound elephant. Somebody needs to get out of my way. This is what God says about us. What is holding us back? It's like we don't mind allowing someone else to be, but me? Yes, you. We have chains of anxiety. Has anybody ever met anxiety? It has been unleashed on this earth. It is a mean, if you'll allow me to use farmer language, it's a mean booger. That one will get you. Anxiety. Overwhelmingness. Anxiety. Being overwhelmed. That's a chain. Now, let's move a little further. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? That's not complicated, but what's happening? We need to restore memory. Why do we listen to worship music? Why do we read the word? Repetitive thinking is stored as truth, whether it's true or not. If someone spoke an unkind words, I'm going to pray this right now. Lord, I pray that if any unkind words has been spoken over anybody in this congregation when they were little growing up or in high school or in school or at work, husband or wife, any unkind words that's been spoken about anybody in this room, I break off those unkind words that they have no prophetic meaning in their life. And the repetition of the memory replaying it must stop right now by the authority of Jesus. And I pray that because I'm a 14,000 pound elephant. And I believe God can do it. God can do it. Unkind words are prophetic utterances. Remember. Isaiah 9:4, for God will break the chains that bind his people and the whip that scourges them. So it shows us God's very aware of these chains. He knows that they are here. Are you in chains or are you a chain breaker? Two, now we're going a little further into it here. Things that constrain you. Things that constrain you. Now, this can be anything that the Holy Spirit shows you. Things that bind you up. Let me ask you this. You don't have to raise your hands, but I want to ask the question. How many of you feel like you have reached your full potential in life? It's just a thought. Am I really maxing out who I am? You can say, Alan, well, I don't want to max out who I am. There's a chain. It's what it looks like, complacency. It's a chain. God has not put you here for you to have a good time with great comfort. Has anybody noticed? How's it working for you? God's put us up here with a purpose. Eternity's a long time. We can rest then. I hear they got fishing and all kinds of stuff up there. So we got plenty of time for that. Right now, we're on a purpose. We have purpose driven. There are people that are dying without Christ. How can we enjoy heaven lest we have given it all that we've got while we're here on earth? Things that bind you up. Things that stop you from moving forward. Things that stop forward progress. We must continue to move forward. Things that remove your freedom. Jubilee, year of freedom. 50th. Here we go. Things that cast you into darkness. It can be some hidden sin that constantly casts you into darkness. How is that a chain? It's because the chain of the hidden sins, not the chain. The shame of the chain of the hidden sins is the chain. It's shame. It'll shut you down. Because you'll say, well, I can't say anything because I've got this. Or I can't, you know. It's shame is huge. It's a big one. Now, let's move a little further. I've got a lot of information to do on y'all. We got a bunch of A to pick up in 10 minutes. Here we go. Great strength and great power. Says this. Now watch this one. Many African cultures revere the African elephant as a symbol of strength and power. He is also praised for his size, longevity, stamina, mental faculties, cooperative spirit, and loyalty. It is said that the elephant brings balance to the animal kingdom in the jungle. In other words, I watched another video on this as I was studying, and this elephant came up to a watering hole, and there were alligators, and there were just all kinds of hyenas and all this. And here comes this big elephant, comes over, and the elephant takes his trunk, and he whams down into the water. Alligators and all these big people, they ran everywhere. I don't care how many teeth they had, they left. They scattered. Why? They knew authority just walked up. And you know what happened? All the little animals and the rabbits and all these little animals came in to get a drink of water right quick. Why? Because true authority showed up. Why do I want you to break all the chains? It's because you've got God-given authority. The elephant brings balance to the jungle. God's people are to bring balance to the earth. A little bit of salt will cure a ham. We're to be a little salty. How are we salty? It's the God-given authority that He's given us. That we're 14,000 pounds, and if my trunk hits the water, something needs to scatter. And it's called the powers of darkness. Needs to be when you walk into Walmart, somebody says, oh no, I felt power of God just walk in somewhere. Now you think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. That's what happens. Why do we want to walk free? Year of Jubilee. Why do we want to do this? It's because there's God-given authority to bring a balance to this jungle we're living in. If the jungle's overgrowing us, check the elephant. Here we go. When the elephant is controlled by a false reality, he ceases to be true to his true identity. When the elephant has the chain and he's chained, he has to do everything its master says. He's chained to this weight. He's not being true to who he is. Truly who he is, he's to bring balance to the jungle because true authority has shown up. The enemy, the dark side, is after your authority. Why does he put these chains on us? So that we don't carry our true identity. Another thought here. He also ceases from living the lifestyle he was created to live. Now, if you're not walking like a spiritual elephant, you are not living the full lifestyle God has for you. I call it the kingdom lifestyle. The kingdom lifestyle is the place to live. It's the place to be. I want to show you just a few other things. Strength is activated when we remember. Now, there's a scripture here. I want to throw this one in right quick. I'm not going to tarry here long. But it's in Judges. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Y'all know the story of Samson. But Samson asked God to reach back into his remembering and empower him once again. Does anybody see that? You see, you were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world. It says Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. God's going to have his way, people. You just as well get over it. God's going to have his way. And God saw who you were to be before the foundations of the world, and he's calling you to be it. Anybody get it? Where are you headed? You are headed towards whom God saw you were before he even did the whole shooting match. And if God thought of you that way, do you think you can do it? Yes. See, Samson asked God, God, don't you remember? So God reached back. Yes, he remembered, and God gave him the strength. When we grab a hold of the fact that we're trying to live, why are we transforming? We are transforming to live unto whom we're going to be. We were in the heart of God before all of this happened. Now, I don't want to stay there long. That's a teaching in itself. We reach into remembering for the power that is needed for the now. We've got our scripture of who God says we are. I'm a 14,000-pound elephant, God says I am. I have authority. I have to reach back in that remembering. But if I've got to go through all these chains to get to it, I'm too weighted down and I won't believe it when I get to it. So here we go. God is pulling us back to our original remembering. God's calling us back to our original remembering before the foundations of the world. Returning to our created purpose. So when we see that God's going before the foundations of the world, God thought of us, God has this purpose in mind, we're here, find ourselves on planet Earth, here today, and we discover that God is calling us and pulling us into whom we're going to be. But the enemy has chained us and given us a different identity. Number one, you're not average. Can somebody give me an amen? Do it on credit. You're not average. God says you are. Here's what he says. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You're 14,000 pounds. That's who God says you are. Now, my question is, how close to that, believing that, are you? Well, it's fine to read it because it's a Bible verse. How far are we from that reality of that truth? Now, I want to do something else here right quick. What time do I need to quit, preacher? 12 o'clock? You don't tell a farmer to take his time. We work in seasons. Push and pull. Now here we go. Y'all just be a little gracious with me. Just hold with me just a minute here. We're going to get this wagon, the hay loaded. Push and pull. Push in life will run out, and it has limitations. You ever been in your job? You ever been in, everybody's trying to push you? Have you experienced that? That's what I call push. You try to push somebody into something. Life has two prophetic ways it deals with us. One's push, the other one's pull. Pull in life is endless with no limitations. Now, if you're sitting in here today and you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should be feeling a little bit of a pull. If you have a chain around your leg and God wants to get rid of it, you should feel a little bit of a pull. The Lord's not pushing you anywhere, but He's pulling. An elephant can pull almost twice its body weight. You can figure that one out. He can push about half and pull twice. He can pull that. Psalms 33. God, you pulled me out of the grave, gave me another chance at life when I was down and out. So when we feel this drawing, we come into it, we feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit. If what I'm telling you about a chain is true, you should feel a drawing of the Holy Ghost. Push and pull of the mind, says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me does what? Draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. What I want you to capture here is how the Spirit's working. Now, it takes courage to say yes to God. Did you know that? It takes courage to say yes to God. To agree with how great you are in Christ Jesus. There again, I'm trying to get our authority reestablished here. You still have to, I'm all for humility. I am all for true humility. But I'm also all for true courage. It's courage in who God says that we are. To seize your mind, it takes courage to seize your mind for the kingdom of God. Nothing is more powerful than when an elephant has a changed mind. Did you know that? Nothing's more powerful than that. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. A changed mind. Nothing is more powerful than an elephant with a changed mind. Nothing is more powerful than God's people with a transformed, changed mind. We can bring balance to this earth, to this community. Like Pastor said, there's more people being saved today than's ever been. He said that, it just run all over me. It's the truth. Now, I got just another little thing or two to do here, if y'all will just sit with me. If somebody needs to leave, you'll hurt my feelings if you do. You thought I was going to say, go ahead, didn't you? I tried that one time. Preacher, don't do that no more. Adam lost his authority when he gave up being responsible by not owning where he was. Now, here's what we got to do. I'm going to be quick. This elephant got a chain around his leg, tied off a little old stick in the ground. Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, Adam, where are you? What's going on? Went over to Adam. Adam said, it was that woman you gave me. God said, woman that I made? What's the problem? It's that serpent that beguiled me in the garden. Now here's what I want you to see. Adam gave up his authority when he blamed the woman. And the woman gave up the authority when she gave it to the serpent. You want the serpent said? Nothing. Because he had all the authority. Now here's the point. When you blame somebody for where you are giving them your authority. Did you get it? When you blame somebody for where you are, you give them your authority. You got to own it. That elephant's got to own there's a chain on its leg. You got to own where you are. And when you own it, listen, if you come into my house and try to sell me something, they'll ask me, well, who owns the place? And I'll say, well, I own it. Or somebody wants your car, say, I want that car. You can't take that car. I own that car. So since you own the car, you have authority over the car. Well, if you don't own it, you don't have any authority. Somebody get that? Listen, I want authority. I want it established, and I want it established right, and I want it high. I want Park Avenue to say there's a bunch of 14,000-pound people down there. Well, that didn't sound just right, did it? Something like that. Here's my point. Come on, church. We've got to own where we are. I heard James Robinson say this one time. He said, this person came up to him and said, you need to forgive him. He said, well, they did it on purpose. He said, well, forgive them on purpose. We have to own where we are, people. In life, you say, well, my mama did it and this one did it. Listen, here's how you own it. You take responsibility of it. Adam gave up his responsibility and his authority when he blamed it. Right? You got to own where you are. You say, well, they did it on purpose. Own that too. Own the whole situation. Well, don't they have to ask for forgiveness? Well, it'd be nice, but if they don't, forgive them anyway. You got to own it. And when you own it, you got authority over it. It won't push you around anymore. You got to own it. What we own, we can forgive. What we own, we can change. When you own your life, you can then give it to Christ. Watch it. Jesus Christ himself went to a cross, and he owned every sin of the world. That's how he forgave them. Jesus had authority over all the sin of the world because he owned them. Does anybody get that? I'm trying to tell you here. It's the power of the elephant. It's the power of Christ. Jesus Christ, how did he have the authority to forgive the sin of the world? Because he owned them all. And whatever you own, you have authority over. Somebody sinned against you, well, forgive them. Own it. Don't walk around with your lip dragging and getting dirt all in it. Own it. Get on with your life. Own where you are. You have authority because you own it. Your authority, because you own it, will heal it. It'll pay for it. You will live happily ever after if you own where you are. People all the time say, well, I gave my life to Christ. I say, well, it don't look like it. Well, you see, it's hard to give to Christ what you don't own. Right? So, to a true people of God that's walking in authority, we don't blame people no more because we're not giving our authority away. We're not going to blame Republicans, Democrats. We're not going to get in all that. We're going to own it all. We're going to own everybody's bad behavior. We're going to forgive it, and we're going to let our trunk hit the water and watch everybody scatter and say, now follow us. This is the way it's done. The one who is responsible or in charge is the one who can respond. Responsibility means the ability to act in authority. The responsibility means the one who can act in authority. And I think I'm about done. You can have a new day and not have a new mind. You cannot step into your future thinking like your past. Did y'all like that load of hay? I'm going to ask you a few questions here. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm trying to bring you the truth of God. It's up to you and the Holy Spirit if you receive truth or not. You have to own this message I gave. I'm not trying to convince you. You have to choose. Christ forgave the sin of the world because he owned the sin of the world, and he was sinless. So therefore, he had the authority to forgive it. It's the message of the cross. Now, if you have a, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. We're not going to play music or radio or anything. Just bow your heads just for a minute. If I've spoken today and the Holy Spirit has shown you a chain that you'd like to get broken this morning, just raise your hand up right quick. Something that's holding you back in life, something perhaps somebody said, a way that you're thinking. Now, a few of you might have a chain, you still want to keep it. I'd let it go. All right? There's a few of you that you've seen this morning that you've been holding something against somebody because they hurt you and they hurt you on purpose, but this morning you want to own that situation and have authority in it. I want you to raise your hand just right quick. Nobody's looking. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, if there's anyone here this morning that you've never received Christ, you hear what I'm saying, but you don't feel like you're been birthed into the elephant kingdom yet, I want you to raise your hand right quickly. Okay, all right, thank you. All right. All right, let's stand. Oh, I did better than I thought. Didn't none of y'all leave? Y'all make me so happy. Let me pray for you. If you raised your hand, here's what the message that I just brought you. Here's the deal. You need to take the message that I brought. Go home this afternoon. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you some things. Ask Him to show you, based on what you've learned this morning, on how you can have true authority in your workplace, with your family, in your community. Because listen, church, the kingdom of God is to shake the earth. And it's because we know who we are. We don't care how good the situation is or how bad it is. We're going to own it. We're going to do something about it. Because you can do something about it only when you own it. So, Lord Jesus, I pray over this congregation this morning. And Lord God, if there's any chains that's been revealed to your people, any chains as they give them over to you right now, they're owning the chain. But dear God, I ask and pray in Jesus' name that they'll grab that chain and they'll lay it at the foot of the cross and ask you just to cut it and break it off of their leg. It'll just be broken off their leg. It'll be broken. They'll be set free. This will be a great 50th. And Lord God, by the authority that you've given me, a farmer, I anoint this congregation and these people with their God-given authority over this area, their God-given influences in their business and their schools and relationships. I anoint them by the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And I know, God, you've said I could do it. I anoint them and call them forth in this authority of the kingdom of God, that they might make a difference in their lives and their families in this community, and yes, even the world. I call forth some, Lord God, you're calling some into missions right now. I can feel, I can hear it. Something, somebody. Lord God, for all anxiety, by the authority of Jesus, it must fall off of those that are feeling that chain of anxiety. I command it in the name of Jesus that it must fall to the ground. Now, Lord God, I speak and I pray for a measure of faith to increase in this house. A measure of faith to increase, they'll even surprise themselves. That the faith will increase, O God, that your kingdom might go forth from here in tremendous authority and power. In Jesus' name, amen.